We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all lights, you have sent your one and only Son to give us life and to give it to us to the full. Bless us, enrich us, guide us ever onward through the power of your holy word, that we might be aglow in your grace and live to give you glory in all things, for time and in all eternity. Amen. There's a story told about Chuck Sessions, popular football player in high school, always had a girl on his arm. They were lined up to date Chuck. Chuck had many girlfriends, and yet all those relationships crashed and burned. As soon as the girls got a little anxious and came up with that question, "Chuck, do you love me?" Oh. That frustrated Chuck, and he immediately walked out of the relationship and found someone new. But then Chuck went to college. Chuck went to college and met Emmylou Baxter. Oh, from the very first moment he saw her, he was smitten. The problem was Emmylou didn't even notice him. She couldn't care too much about him. He had to work for months and months just to get a conversation going between the two of them. It took almost a whole another semester for them just to be talking over coffee. Finally, she got to the point where she agreed to go out on their first date. Well, and there was a date after that, and month after month, Emmylou finally got to the position where her heart was melting a little bit, opening up for Chuck's sincere kindness. And then she asked the question, "Chuck, do you love me?" Oh, he melted right on the moment. Oh, now what do I do? Do I bail? Do I run? What am I going to do now? And finally he muttered out, "I don't know what that means." "Oh," Emmylou said. And in a quiet, polite tone, she told him, "Well, love is when you care about someone more than you care about yourself. Love is when you want to provide for them and protect them, even though it might cost you everything you have. Love isn't just that you're able to live with someone, it's that you really don't want to live without them. That's what love does." And that's the exact love that God has for each and every one of us. He doesn't need us. He wants us. And he gave his all to make us his. Even bleeding to death so that we would have a home with him for all eternity. Now that's love. And in that enormous love for us, that he would sacrifice everything for us, he turns to us and Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" Ouch. Are we somewhat like Chuck and we kind of hem and haw at that, huh? Do we kind of dodge that question? "Well, Jesus, I believe in you." "Great, but do you love me?" "Oh, Jesus, I've learned all kinds of things in catechism class about you, and I agree with everything that was taught there." "That's good. But do you love me?" "Do you love me?" he asks. "Are you willing to spend everything so that you do not lose me? Are you willing to give it all, even bleeding to death, all so that nothing could come between the two of us, and that we might live together forever?" Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" Only in our text this morning, Jesus puts it in a much simpler way, doesn't he? He says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. If he does not love me, he will not obey my teaching. Oh, pretty cut and dry, pretty black and white there, huh? Jesus isn't looking for just love in words. He's looking for a loving lifestyle that conforms and is transformed by the power of his words. Jesus took words from the prophet Isaiah to challenge the Pharisees of his day, the Pharisees who look so pious on the outside. He says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Oh, that may never be said of us. But our sinful natures want to try and play that game within us, huh? Just to have a veneer of Christianity. You see, because our sinful natures like to view faith as just kind of a statement of allegiance. These are the facts and we hold to them. Kind of like we pledge allegiance to America, and then we go home and live whatever kind of life we want to. So our sinful nature likes to play that game. We'll pledge allegiance to the Lord God Almighty as long as at the end of the day we can go home and live for ourselves. And that's all that really matters. That kind of self-serving allegiance, Jesus doesn't care too much for. He says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." Well, what is Jesus' teaching? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Wow, that's a tall order. Jesus is calling for us to please him in everything we think about our life and what we want out of this life and what's going to really control our life. To really seek to please him with every word that comes off of our tongue, whether it's a word to our spouse or our children or our co-workers or our neighbors. Lord, how do these words sit with you before they come out of my mouth? And for everything we put our hand to, is this truly pleasing to my Heavenly Father? Our sinful natures don't want to bother with that. Our sinful natures will say, "We can't be perfect. We're going to mess up. Don't worry about it. Just live your life, and God will be pleased with that. Do we hear any of that in Jesus' words? "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." Jesus never says, "Oh, it's okay to disobey me because I know how weak and feeble you truly are and you really can't measure up anyway, so let's just forget about it." No. Jesus takes it very personally. Every act of disobedience he interprets as a lack of love toward him. I wasn't important enough to them. And so Jesus wants us to love him 24/7. Does that call for a life of repentance? Oh, yes, because we are going to fall short, far short, each and every day. But that is what we repent of. He isn't calling for a life of excuses. And so we come to our Lord with heavy, repentant hearts, seeing just how far we have fallen short. But that brings us back to the cross, doesn't it? That's exactly why Jesus died. He spilled his blood because of our divided loyalty, some for him, but most for us, for our half-hearted love. Yeah, I like you, Lord, but I really love me. For our commitment in word only and not in lifestyle. He forgives that. He pours out his blood to wash us clean from all of our sins. He is all in paying the price to set us free and to make us children of God. And now he turns and asks us to be all in, to live for him totally, wholly, that he might truly be the Lord of our heart and our life. And oh, what promises Jesus makes. Promises of treasure beyond our wildest dreams. He says, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Think of that a second. God making his home with us. To take someone into your home and make your home their home, that's a pretty big commitment, isn't it? Let's imagine for a minute that you adopt a foster child named Andre. And you bring Andre into your home and say, now this is your home. Everything we have is yours. The problems you have are ours. We're going to intertwine our lives together, and for all of our lifetime, we are going to be family. And that means something to us. And Andrea has to adjust to this newfound gift and this loving commitment. And so God comes, our triune God comes and says, I'm going to make my home with you. I'm going to intertwine our lives together for time and for all eternity. And everything I have is yours. And everything you have is mine. And it is going to be beautiful. Now notice, Satan also wants to make his home with us. Take up residence in our living room, our kitchen, our bedroom. Only Satan has a whole different goal. He wants to get us to claw and scratch at our loved ones, to let such bitterness and resentment settle in. He wants to stoke the fire of our sinful nature so there's nothing in our homes but fighting and bitterness and arguments and envy and every form of dysfunction, endless streams of tears. Bathing each day, will it never ever get any better? That's when Satan cackles, when he can do his worst. But our Lord comes and says, oh, blessed be the home where the Lord dwells, where he bathes us in his forgiveness. He strengthens us in his truth. He describes it as a house built on solid rock. Oh, the storms of life might come, but it stands firm in forgiveness and truth and truly building up one another, and it grows all the stronger as it looks to its Savior for its reason for living and its comfort in the bitter days. God gives us forgiveness and love, wisdom and hope, and that's why there are specific reasons why some homes are war zones, while other homes are an oasis of love and peace and safety. Those aren't accidents. They happen for very deliberate reasons. It all depends on who we're going to invite into our homes. And the doorway into our homes are our hearts, whether our hearts are truly filled with love or whether there's a lack of love. Which will we choose? Now in our text today, this is Maundy Thursday that Jesus is pouring out all these things, and I envision that the disciples were just kind of trying to soak it all in, you know. He says he's departing, he's going away, and we have to kind of remember all these things. Ah, a little bit of a problem, huh? But just then, Jesus comes with his promise again. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Isn't that cool? These disciples are about to be made apostles. And as God makes them his apostles, his official spokesmen out into the world, he pours out his Holy Spirit in an extra special measure, giving them all the very words of the New Testament, giving them the words to shepherd that New Testament church on into the rest of time in eternity, so that we can read and learn and study what God has put on the pages of his Scripture. And are we ever blessed that the Holy Spirit has filled them with the Word of God? No, the Holy Spirit hasn't made us apostles. But that doesn't mean he's abandoned us either. The Holy Spirit has promised that he is our teacher of Scripture, that he comes through the pages of Scripture to teach us, to enlighten us, to pour out his gifts of grace upon us. How's that working? You know, one thing us Americans like to do is we like to measure success according to our parents. Do we have a better standard of life? Are we able to do more things than our parents did? And that's how we kind of decide whether we're a success or not. Have you ever thought about doing that spiritually? The temptation is to kind of just take the blueprint our parents had and just kind of mimic it. Well, this is how my parents handled their life as a Christian. I guess I'll just do what they did. Is that really the plan the Holy Spirit has for us? What great transformation plans does the Holy Spirit have? Notice what he did with these disciples. These disciples from Monday, Thursday to Pentecost seem like totally different people. The Holy Spirit has already worked a powerful transformation in each and every one of us, bringing us from being unbelievers to believers, children of darkness to children of light, filling us with that glorious gospel. And yet we ask, where else does the Holy Spirit want to lead us? What other transformations? How much more powerful and rich does he want us to be in his truth and in his love? And how might that change our lives as we know it? Notice what Scripture says is the fruit of the Holy Spirit living in our hearts and lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do we have all those gifts to the full? Or is there still kind of some room for growth? The Holy Spirit has plans to give us all those gifts. But you know, it's not like sprinkling fairy dust on us when we're asleep. No. How does the Holy Spirit fill us? It's through that very same gospel message. His message of love and forgiveness in Christ that brought us to faith is the very same message that helps us blossom in that faith and have all the gifts and blessings that God intends for us to have. And so he comes to water our hearts and our souls through the power of that word, day after day, week after week, year after year, that he might work his good blessings in us. Do we have a hunger for that word? Do we have a hunger to know more and more? Lord, pour it into us. And that's one of those remarkable things. The more we hunger to know of the Lord, the more the Lord reveals through his holy word. The more is revealed to us, the more we hunger for even more. And so we grow and grow. And that transforms our hearts and our lives and gives us spiritual strength we never thought possible, to truly be content and filled with joy because our God lives with us and lives in us. Now, I would imagine, too, on this Maundy Thursday, if there had been some stranger just listening to Jesus talk to his disciples, they might say, wow, this guy's crazy. He's making all these wonderful promises, and he's a penniless pauper. Even a few hours later, when he's hanging on the cross, he's still making promises. Talk about someone who doesn't look like he can deliver on those promises. But notice the powerful promise Jesus gives his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace. That's a pretty powerful gift in our war-torn world and our war-torn hearts. Peace, he promises us. You see, this man hanging on the cross, moments away from death, is none other than our limitless God, our infinite God. He cannot be contained or measured or limited in any way. He's truly infinite. Infinite in his power. Infinite in his knowledge and present everywhere. And what's most exciting, he's infinite in his love for you and me. There is no using it up. This is the God who tells us, be at peace. I give you my peace. He carries us in his all-powerful arms day after day next to his all-loving heart. And he says, be at peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. He almost makes it sound like we have a choice in the matter. And we do. What are the things that would rob us of our peace? Well, there's many things that are really unsettling and nerve-wracking in our day and age, huh? Financial problems. There's way too many bills and not enough money. How will we ever make ends meet? Our body breaking down with some disease or old age. And we find ourselves getting weaker and weaker. Maybe we have enemies galore who are rising up against us and threatening our jobs, threatening our future, threatening to put us in jail, enemies all around. Maybe we're in the middle of a tornado of lies, people slandering us and saying all kinds of hurtful things. And worst of all, other people are actually believing the lies. Or maybe we're suffering with a hole created in our hearts by the death of someone who is so near and dear to us. And we think we'll never be done crying. We'll never be able to make it through. And our Savior says, peace. Peace I leave you. I give you. In this sin-sick world, the only place that we can find lasting peace is in our Savior Jesus. Everything else is transitory. That's why Jesus tells us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's not just a pious wish. It really does work to find rest in him. After Jesus rose on Easter, he met with his disciples several times. And on one occasion by the Sea of Galilee, he asked Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? Three times Peter answered, Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you. Of course Jesus knows all things. He knew what was in Peter's heart. So why did he ask him three times? Perhaps it was so Peter could hear his own words. You know, it's easy to say, I love you once. Quick, yeah, I love you. Let's go on. What's for supper? No, Peter. Let's really take some time and think about this. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Well, God asks us that question over and over and over again. Do you love me? And every day we have a new opportunity to answer that and to put it into action and truly have Jesus be first in our hearts and our lives, our decisions and our hopes, our fears and our joys, to have him be our all in all. Do you love me? And every day is a new day. Being loved by God and loving him in return is a wonderful life, a beautiful life. In contrast, hating God and pushing Jesus and his word and his peace out of our lives, that is a terrible life. One that isn't even worth living. Jesus comes in his enormous love and he calls for us to love him with the love he has for us, to come to him and want him to make our home with him. Eager, hungry to hear his word and to be blessed through that word. To have his peace truly be the peace that overwhelms us and finds a happy home in our hearts and lives. That's our quest for living and our peace in dying. May God give us the strength to not fall in love with the things of this world, but to fall in love with him who has truly loved us to death and to life again, and to find in him all the love and hope and joy we need for time and for all eternity. Jesus has all we need and all we ever will need. In him, life is truly good. May he bless us to the full. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, our times are in your hands. What a blessed place to be. Fill us with the power of your holy word. Fill us with your grace, your light, your many blessings, that we might be aglow in your grace and give glory and honor to your name. Guide us ever onward as we cast all our cares upon you, because you truly do care for us. In Christ our Savior, amen.